Hi, I'm Kristen Lee, news writer for Search Health IT.
And I'm Sean Sutner, news and feature writer for Search Health IT.
And we're the Hit Squad.
We are the Hit Squad.
In this podcast, we're going to be talking about our plans for covering the upcoming huge conference, HIMSS, which will be in Orlando, Florida this year. We'll also look at a recent pulse easing that we just finished and just got. Well, is it published yet?
It's not published yet, I don't think. Maybe next week,
soon.
But it's done. Yeah.
Yeah, it's done and it's coming out soon. And then we will also be talking about an easing that we are just getting started on now, as well as some of our favorite recent stories. So, Sean, let's start with HIMSS. What have you got planned so far?
Well, I just registered actually for the actual conference, I think yesterday, and I immediately got a flood in my email. It's almost like a Twitter feed.
I know.
Which is good. I mean, the PR people, the media people of all the vendors and other people who go to HIMSS know that we exist and want to meet with us, which is really great. But I am just starting, as you probably are, to set up meetings, and I'm trying to also figure out like what do I want to cover in terms of broad topic areas, and we have to decide that as a team at Search Health IT. And I think value-based care is going to affect almost everything at HIMSS this year. It seems like you can't go anywhere at Health IT without hearing how this product or this system or this approach helps value-based care. So I think I'm going to delve into that, as we all probably are. I'm planning to go to a CMS session on MIPS, the Merit-Based Incentive Payment System, which is part of MACRA. So I'm trying to line up some interviews about value-based care and MACRA. Then also, I'm also going to meet with Dr. Charles Jaffe, who is the head of HL7 International, which is the standards health IT standards organization that has developed FHIR, which has now become an official standard as opposed to a draft standard. And I know I'm going to meet with Mac McMillan, of the cybersecurity guru from Synergistic, which incidentally just got acquired for $34 million by this publicly traded print document management company called Auxilio. This week, $34 million.
Wow.
So, and because Synergistic, which is really one of the only native health IT cybersecurity companies, there's not too many others that just do health IT cybersecurity. They were growing so fast that they, I guess they needed more capital to expand even more, and probably a pretty good payday for our friends at Synergistic as well. Kristen, what about you? What's going on for HIMSS with you?
Yeah, so I'm working on scheduling some interviews and some video interviews. I'll be also talking to people about MACRA as well. I'm going to be really interested just to see what people have to say, either in interviews or in sessions, about cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, and also just curious to see if blockchain's going to come up, and if so, in what kind of context, whether it's people using it for security reasons or other reasons. AI, I think, is going to be really interesting, just because I've heard a lot of people say that this AI is going to become really big. And so I'm just curious to see how people will be using that as well, and kind of what results they're getting. And then, just to move on from HIMSS, just to talk about the easing that we're going to be working on, which is going to focus on patient engagement. I haven't interviewed anyone for this, but just kind of one tidbit I got about patient engagement just in past interviews is I spoke with the CIO of Dignity Health, Deanna Weiss, and she was talking about how important it is to create a good user experience, and consumers' expectations these days are their standards are pretty high. They can go to Amazon and they can order from multiple different companies just all through this one site. So that kind of expectation is what people have, and it should be applied in healthcare. So I just thought that was an interesting tidbit in terms of user experience, and I think that applies to patient engagement. Obviously, like, if you're using a site that's not working well, you're gonna stop using that site. And the same goes for all the technology in healthcare, whether it's like a mobile app or a patient portal or whatever. So I'll be interested to see, you know, kind of what other experts have to say about that as I do my interviews. But Weiss also said that, you know, important technologies that play here are mobile and cloud. So we'll see what people have to say about that. And then I guess just to move on to the e-zine that just came out, you know, that e-zine was focused on cybersecurity, and I was tasked with focusing on just the technologies to help detect and protect against cyber attacks. And, you know, ransomware was a very prevalent topic when I was speaking with experts. But basically, the essential technologies that I learned about include multi-factor authentication, behavioral analytics, more meaning kind of observing your workforce and seeing whether people are accessing information that they shouldn't be. Honeypot, which I thought was interesting.
That sounds tasty.
It does sound tasty, and it's, you know, good for your organization. But that's essentially where you create, you know, a decoy. You know, you have a server, a fake server, creating a decoy network. So when hackers try to hack into your network, they will come across the honeypot. They'll be just, you know, surfing around in this fake network and not finding anything instead of actually attacking your real network. So I thought that one was interesting. Also, other important technologies include next generation firewalls and security email gateways, and also advanced persistent threat detection technologies. So that article that I wrote was just like packed full of information. I didn't even write everything that these experts told me, since I was like capped at 1,000 words, I think. And I could have written a novel, but there it is. I hope everybody enjoys it and learns something from it. So anyway, Sean, what about you? Talk to me about, you know, the e-zine we were just assigned and the e-zine that we just published.
Sure, but I was just going to say that I hope your novel has a happy ending about cybersecurity, because so many of these stories do not have happy endings, which is kind of what I wrote about. I'm going to start with the e-zine we just finished, and I was assigned to write about breaches and successful, quote-unquote, ransomware attacks. And I put together a graphic with the help of our content strategist, Emily McLaughlin. And it's pretty scary. I mean, it showed, this graphic showed that just according to the Office for Civil Rights' own breach database, 15.1 million people, patients affected by data breaches in 2016. And that's up 4 million from 2015, 11.3 million. And that was just the ones that are breaches that are reported. Mm-hmm. There's supposedly 90% aren't even reported. So it's a really good bet that yours and mine and people we know and employees of health IT vendors, that their own health data has been breached and has been out there.
Yeah.
So it's really scary. And the data from the OCR database showed that healthcare providers are the ones who are most frequently breached, even though the health plans are second, and the Anthem hack of 2015 was, you know, the most notorious of that. Anthem and Primera as well. So then we did another graphic on the top 12 ransomware breaches. And that was pretty scary. I mean, the most notorious was Hollywood Hospital, I believe. Is it on here? Yeah.
When you say the top 12, do you mean like the top 12 worst ones?
Yes.
Yeah.
And meaning successful. Yeah. There were in terms of, I thought there was a list of ransomware attacks, but there aren't. But there's, the top 12 reported data breaches in 2016 started with Banner Health in Arizona, mm-hmm. 21st Century Oncology in Florida, Valley Anesthesiology in Arizona. So there were clinics, urology groups, healthcare providers, eye clinics, you name it. So pretty scary. And so as for the upcoming e-zine, which will probably be out in March, but we start working on it now. It's kind of like a magazine in PDF format. I think I'm gonna focus on patient engagement on one aspect of patient engagement, which is care coordination. And this analyst, Brian Eastwood from Chilmark Research, which is one of the leading independent health IT consulting firms, market research and consulting firms, did a whole study, and I interviewed him about that. He did a report called Beyond the Patient Portal, new ways of doing care coordination. And, you know, care coordination involves getting healthcare providers to cooperate and communicate, and it also involves the patient,
mm-hmm.
and patient engagement is part of that. And so there's a lot of there's a lot of new technologies that are, you know, a lot of them are app based, and they really involve, and you know, CRM I think is part of patient engagement. It's a big part of patient engagement as well. And my joke about patient engagement is we move on from there to patient marriage after the engagement.
Oh my God.
No, but so.
Is it a long engagement or?
Hopefully, yes. So everybody gets used to everybody.
Oh my God.
So, well, I did write up a 2-part Q&A with John Sculley, who a lot of people, well, especially older people like me, will remember was the former CEO of Apple. And if anybody's seen, he was also the CEO of PepsiCo. He's been in healthcare for the last 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But he, if anybody's seen any of the movies about Steve Jobs, whether it's the biopic or another documentary, you'll see. He was, Steve Jobs recruited John Sculley from Pepsi to give Apple a more consumer focus. Apple was kind of a geeky company at that time for artists and nerds and people like that, and they needed more consumer outreach. This is way before the iPhone. So they brought Sculley in, and Sculley was more of a button-down businessman, you know, from the consumer business world. And
mm-hmm.
Sculley ended up firing Jobs.
Oh.
And Jobs, as we all know, came back. He had founded another computer company, I think, called Next, and then he founded a movie special effects company. But eventually came back, and the rest is history. Apple just zoomed, and I think that Sculley. I didn't ask Sculley about Jobs, but I did ask him about whether he uses an iPhone. He said he does use an iPhone 6S. But anyway, he's back with this. He has a pharmacy IT, cloud-based pharmacy IT company.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, usually we don't try to give, you know, do too vendor-specific, but you couldn't, I couldn't really avoid it with John Sculley. He wanted to talk about this, but it's a company that sort of uses cloud-based analytics to see, to coordinate between pharmacy benefits management companies, which work with health plans and healthcare providers and pharmacies to automatically refill people's prescriptions, to send them notifications when their prescriptions are ready, that kind of thing. And his company will sort of analyzes all that data to see who's getting duplicate prescriptions, who could be getting cheaper generic prescriptions,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And really interesting, I think. And Sculley talked about a wide range of topics in our conversation, and one of them was value-based care, and how. And he also talked about the incoming administration, who at that time when we did the interview, we knew it was Trump. And he said that no matter what Trump does with the ACA, the Affordable Care Act,
mm-hmm.
It's almost certain that MACRA will be left largely untouched because it passed with a huge bipartisan majority of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And MACRA is built on the principles of value-based care going forward, even though we're still in a fee-for-service world in a lot of respects.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, look, value-based care is coming, and we have to prepare for it using the cloud and analytics. And, that was pretty cool. And John Sculley is a pretty authoritative guy, and that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So
great.
That's it, and now we just forge ahead.
Great. Well, okay, so kind of to take a tangent, to go back to breaches.
Sure.
So yesterday I heard that, you know, a medical marijuana dispensary, its technology, I'm not totally sure what kind of technology they use to hold information or patient information, but I heard that, you know, it got hacked.
Ooh.
And I was thinking about it because now that marijuana, at least in Massachusetts and, I mean, in other states as well, it's becoming legal in more and more places. whether medical marijuana dispensaries would kind of create this other layer or avenue for hackers to get into. It seems like right now hospitals are the target, but I was wondering if, because medical marijuana dispensaries, they're kind of new and up and coming, maybe they're not on their game with, you know, security technologies yet, if that's going to become another place that hackers could get into.
Especially if they're under the influence while they're devising these. But yes, no, you raise a really good point. I think that's cool to, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to see what you thought, because I remember reading that and being like, whoa.
I would think, yes, sure they would be a target. I mean, they could be a really soft target.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing is, obviously, like, if it's a medical marijuana dispensary, you know, these patients are being prescribed for whatever illness that they're trying to manage. And obviously, you'd think that the dispensary would have that, their medical information.
Like, oh, they do. They would have that.
So they're definitely dealing with PHI.
They definitely are.
So, yeah, that was just an interesting thing.
I would bet anything that we're going to see some hacks there. I mean, people, even if people go there with their left pinky is sore and they want to get some marijuana to cure it. But
well, I cut my finger with a knife the other night.
Ooh, I'm sorry to hear that, but you might be able to go to a medical marijuana.
Well, now I don't know if I want my PhD in there just yet.
I don't blame you for worrying about that. Do you remember what state that dispensary was in that got hacked? Probably Colorado. Right?
I'm not sure. I need to double check, but I just thought that was interesting.
Well, in marijuana, in Massachusetts. all more.
Oh, no.
No, I haven't been smoking any.
Guys, we're fine.
But in Massachusetts, the legislature is actually holding up the initiative that was approved at the polls by voters in November. Mm-hmm. Typical of the Massachusetts legislature to try to thwart the will of the voters by they passed the thing, a referendum approving legal use of marijuana, and it's not going to be implemented for 6 months at the very earliest. And now the Boston Globe is reporting that they're actually going to gut this initiative. They still put it in, but you know, it'll be like getting marijuana out of Fort Knox probably, you know, by the time they're done with it, you know. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was just an interesting tidbit. So I wanted to see what you thought about it. But anyway, that wraps up this podcast. And please do take a visit to our site, searchhealthit.com, for more podcasts, articles, videos, you name it. So thanks very much.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.